Topic of today's teaching is called Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. Topic for today is what? Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. That is what we're going to talk about, and it is vitally important. It's going to be our subject. Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. You know, we read throughout the Bible and reading the scriptures, it's commonplace for people to hear the voice of Yahweh, right? I mean, at the very beginning, we read about Adam having conversations with him. We read about Moses, going up on the mountain, hearing the voice at the very beginning from a burning bush. The prophets, the kings. And today, there are churches and there are groups out there that teach that, you know, Yahweh does not speak anymore only through his word is how he speaks, right? They teach us that there are no new revelations, that he speaks only through his word, and that you cannot hear the voice of Yahweh actively today. However, we know that Yahweh does not change. He says, I am Yahweh, I change not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Yahweh does not change. Who changes? We do. So it's not Yahweh that's changed, it's us that's changed, it's mankind. And as Yahweh communicated with Moses, as he communicated with Yeshua, he wants to talk to us today. Amen? You see, we read in the scriptures that Adam heard Yahweh's voice in the cool of the day. And he heard his voice for relationship. He heard his voice for teaching. He heard his voice for love and instructions. And he was giving him direction. I mean, many people today want to know, what is God's will for my life? Everybody wants to know the will of Yahweh. The way that we know that, the way that we actively participate in that, is by hearing the voice of Yahweh and walking out what he tells us. So that's what we're going to talk about today, hearing the voice of Yahweh. Now, greater than his desire to talk to us is actually his desire for us to listen. You follow me? Because the truth is, the emet, that's Hebrew for truth, the emet is that Yahweh is always talking. His word is always going forth. The question is, are we listening? We'll talk more about that later. Now, the voice of Yahweh in Hebrew, it's important to know the Hebrew phrase so we have a better understanding of it. The voice of Yahweh in Hebrew is bat kol. Bat kol, which is a bet, a tav, a kuf, a vav, and a lamed. Bat kol. Now in Hebrew, the actual translation of bat kol, bat is Hebrew for daughter. You have bat zion, daughter of Zion. You have a bat mitzvah, which is like a bar mitzvah. So bat is the word for daughter, while kol is the word for voice. So it literally means daughter of a voice. It's daughter of a voice. Now, in other places in the scripture, it's translated a heavenly voice. In some places, it's translated as a divine echo. A divine echo. In fact, Judaism teaches that the bat kol of Yahweh is a divine echo, a reverberation of the words spoken from Yahweh that continue to reverberate throughout all of creation. The bat kol. It's translated, the word kol in Hebrew, if you go to your Strong's Concordance, you look up the word voice, it's translated as voice, kol, as noise, as sound, as thunder, as fame, and as proclamation. So the word kol in Strong's is translated many different ways in our King James Version Bible. It was the voice from the cloud. It was the voice that spoke to Adam. It was the voice that spoke and said, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? To Saul, the bat kol. And notice that many times they did not see who was speaking, but they heard the voice. Amen? They heard it. And throughout Jewish writings, you can read in their historical writings, bat kol would be sounded, or they would hear a bat kol for consolation, for comforting, and for conviction. We read about it in the scriptures many times, and they actually have in their writings where they heard the bat kol a lot more than what's just in the word. The Talmud actually says that when Israel separated from Judah, when the 10 tribes separated from the 2 tribes down south with to follow Jeroboam as king, that a bat kol was heard by every Israelite saying, warning, danger. Isn't that interesting? A bat kol. When the disciples of Hillel and Shammai, who are the two most popular Jewish rabbis in Jewish history, when they would kind of argue about who was right, about anything, because they'd argue just pretty much about anything, right? Because they had, well, my rabbi teaches it this way, and my rabbi teaches it that way, they would argue. And it's actually recorded that a bat kol would sound and tell them which rabbi to agree with. And we read in Scripture, of course, that when Yeshua was baptized, what happened? When he was mikvahed, the bat kol was heard. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, right? So the bat kol is all throughout the Scriptures. The bat kol is the voice of creation. How was the world created? Yahweh spoke it into existence. How did he speak it? In English? No, in the Hebrew. So you look at a table, you're actually looking at a bunch of Hebrew letters put together. All of creation is from the spoken word, from the bat kol. So the bat kol is very important, the daughter, the echo of voice. It's the voice of inspiration. You've heard the bat kol when you became saved. You had the bat kol speaking to you, convicting your heart. Interesting thing about sound waves is that they continue. Did you know that? When you speak something, it is eternal. Right now in this room, there are sound waves from thousands of years ago that we can't see them, but they are there. During World War II, when they were having the different fights and battles, and they were trying different types of technology, it's actually recorded that someone in the Air Force was listening to one of the first radio programs ever broadcast. And he couldn't understand why it was on his receiver. The sound waves were out there somewhere, still going, still reverberating, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. But the words of Yeshua that he spoke are still out there. The words of creation are still out there. In fact, it tells us in the book of Colossians that Yeshua holds everything together by the power of his word. The spoken word. So if we look at it that way, the word still resonates from Sinai. When Yahweh gave Torah from Mount Sinai, it still resonates to this day. That's why it says many times in the Scriptures, today if you will hear the voice. Today if you will do this. And every day is today. Amen? So every day is today, and the voice continues on. Like a 24-hour radio station, Yahweh is always sending forth his word. His voice is always going forth. His word is always going forth. The question is, are we tuning in to listen? Just like with the radio station, right now there are radio waves all around us. We've got to have a receiver that will pick them up. And if you don't tune in, you're not listening. There was a man was having difficulty communicating with his wife, and he just figured out that it was she was starting to become hard of hearing, you know, because it happens. So he decided he was going to conduct a test. You ready for this one? So one evening, he sat in a chair on the far side of his wife, and her back was to him, and she couldn't see him, so he just whispered, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" And there was no response. So he moved a little bit closer, got a little closer to his wife, and he said, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" Still no reply. So quietly, he moved a little bit closer, you know. He edged, whispered the same words again. Still no answer. Finally, he moved right behind her in the chair. And he said, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" And to his surprise, his wife raised his voice and said, "For the fourth time, yes, I'm hear you." The problem wasn't in hearing, right? Not within speaking, but it was in hearing. She was saying, "I hear you every time." It was him that had the problem. Listening. The problem is not with Yahweh talking. It's with us listening. Amen? Hearing from Yahweh requires discipline. It tells us in Luke 8:18. This is a verse to really think about and memorize. It says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed, take caution, be careful. Take heed how you hear. We got to tune our receiver so we can listen to the voice of Yahweh. And that's really where the true meat of the word comes. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, true meat, we all want the true meat of the word, right? The deep meanings of the scriptures and be able to apply it to our lives. It says, true meat belongs to those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to determine between both good and evil. Senses, our senses must come under subjection of Yahweh and His Word. What are senses? To see, to taste, to touch, to smell, and to hear. So the true meaning of the Word comes when we train our senses to discern His voice and not His voice. When we begin to see in the spiritual, when we begin to walk in the spiritual, when we begin to hear in the supernatural. True meat does not come by all this other stuff out there. And let me tell you, there's stuff out there, right? It doesn't come by all esoteric knowledge and Kabbalah and all this other stuff. True meat comes when we yield our bodies as a living sacrifice and when we hear His Word. When we train our ears to where we can hear Him. When we train our eyes where we can see in the supernatural. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of Yahweh's mercies, to do what? To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. For this is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of Yahweh. So if we want to know His will, if we want to hear His voice, what does it take? We've got to yield our lives. Specifically, it says, have our mind transformed, right? Our mind cannot be renewed until our ears are in tune. You hear me? Do you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right. So hearing the voice of Yahweh, hearing the bat kol, the kol of Elohim, the voice of Yahweh, is vitally important to us because we have so many decisions to make in our life. Now, He wants us to hear His voice concerning the big things, yes, and even concerning the little things. We're going to talk about how to do that. To hear His word is the starting place for faith. Emunah in Hebrew. Emunah, trusting. It tells us, Emunah, faith, cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of Yahweh in Romans 10, 17. So the way we build up our faith is by hear the word. So what's the opposite of that? The way we have doubt is what? To not hear the word. So if you've got a lot of doubt in your life, you need to hear the word. You need to get into the word. Now, our concept of hearing is very different than that of the scriptures. Isn't that surprising? To listen, the Merriam-Webster dictionary says, means to pay attention, to hear something with thoughtful attention, to give consideration, to be alert to catch an unexpected sound. Merriam-Webster says it means to pay attention. That's part of it. That's the English version, listening. To hear. But we all know that there's a difference between really hearing and listening. Sometimes my wife will speak to me, and I see her lips moving, but I don't hear her. Right? Maybe I'm tuning her out. Maybe I'm casting a deaf ear to her a little bit. I hear what she's saying, but I'm not really listening. I'm sure none of you guys have that same tendency, right? In Hebrew, the word most often translated as hear in the Bible is the word shema, shema, which is shin, mem, ayin, shema. And it actually means, you can look this word up, it actually means to attentively listen and obey. Not just listen, but obey. So we have teenagers sometimes, and they hear you, but they don't obey. To shema means to do both, right? It means to listen and obey, to hear, to understand, and to put into action. So whenever we read in the scriptures and it says Shema, that means don't just hear it, don't just read it, but put it into action. What does it say in Yaakov, James 1:22? Do not be hearers of the word only, but doers. To Shema means you're going to do. And it's not an issue of your physical ears, but of your spiritual ears. You may hear every word I'm saying, but not every word is going to plant into your heart and into your soul. The Air Force, a couple years ago, I read, did a study and found that most people forget 95% of what they hear within 72 hours. That's hearing with the mind. We're talking about hearing with the ruach, with the spirit. That's what builds up our faith. The bedrock of our biblical faith, of hearing from Yahweh. Yeshua said in Mark 12:29, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And he said what? Shema Israel, hear, O Israel. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. To Shema is the greatest commandment. Now, most of the time we say the greatest commandment is to love Yahweh and love your neighbor. But before you can love him, you got to hear him. Does that make sense? First, we must hear the word to build up our faith so we can love him and love our neighbor. If all we're focusing in is on love, then it's going to be about our actions. It's going to be about, well, what do I need to do to love him? But if we focus on hearing him and really knowing how to love him, hearing his voice in the cool of the day. Remember the good old hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear whispering in my ear. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. Powerful hymn. Because it talks about the intimacy of walking with him and talking with him and hearing his voice. To Shema, it says, what's the greatest commandment? Mark 12:29. The greatest commandment. Shema Israel. Who's supposed to listen? Israel is. Israel. Who are we? We're Israel. Amen. I said amen. Amen. We are Israel. Yahweh Eloheinu. Who? Yahweh is one. Hear his voice. Hear the oneness of his voice, the unity of his will. Now, the world is full of voices. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:10 that the world actually has a voice. And we know that the adversary has a voice, right? Because it looms and it lies and it tries to deceive us. In Bereshit Genesis chapter 3, we hear the voice of the adversary speaking to Adam and Kava, or Adam and Eve. We know that HaSatan tempted Yeshua. And what did Yeshua say? He said, it is written, here's what the word says. You're going to speak doubt into my ears. That's what HaSatan did to Yeshua even. And Yeshua answered him with the word. Yahweh's voice is calling us. Yahweh's voice is guiding us. And let me make this clear. Yahweh's voice is very specific. Most of the world today, the religious world today, has a picture of God on Prozac. God on Prozac, right? I mean, let's be honest here. Anything goes as long as you tithe. Anything goes. As long as you show up on Sunday, anything goes, as long as your heart's in the right place, brother. But Yahweh is very specific. He's not on Prozac. He's not medicated. All right? He's very specific and straight to the point about what we wear, about what we eat, about when to worship, where to worship, how to raise our family, how we talk. And it's all in the scriptures, in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, and in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament. Very specific. And we need to hear his voice and the specifics of his voice. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, Moshe called all Israel, and he said to them, Shema, O Israel, the laws and rules which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and guard them and do them. And he goes on to say, I don't make this commandment or this regulation with your ancestors, but with you today. So he's calling to them, to all Israel, and he says, Shema, listen and obey today, he says, which I speak to you in your hearing. Those words still reverberate the divine echo, the bat kol, forever. Many times when we read in the scriptures, we hear or hearken. That's a good King James version, right? Hearken. It's usually the word Shema. Now, it tells us in Leviticus 26:18 that if you will not hearken or listen or Shema, that he's going to punish you seven times for your sins. So it's pretty important that we listen to his voice, amen? In Devarim 7:12, it says, if you will hearken, Yahweh. We read this earlier today in our Torah portion. If you will listen, Shema, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. But it takes hearing. Then it takes doing. That's what the Shema is. It's not just hearing it and getting head knowledge, but it's hearing it and doing it. Many blessings in the scriptures for hearing his word. Blessed is the man that listens to me, says Proverbs 8:34. Yeshua said in Matthew 13:9, he said, he that has ears, let him hear. Now, he wasn't just talking about physical ears because we've all got them. Most people have them. He was talking about spiritual ears. He says, pay attention, go to action, do not turn a deaf ear. So we're talking about what today? Hearing the voice of Yahweh. Yeshua spoke, and his words were heard by his disciples, by the Sadducees, by the Pharisees, by the scribes. They all heard the same words, right? But they responded differently. They responded differently. It tells us in Matthew 16:6 to beware the sin or the leaven of the Pharisees. Part of their sin was they heard the word, but they did not incorporate it. They heard what the Master Yeshua said, but they didn't make that their walk. They had a better understanding, they thought. Their problems and our problems are pretty similar, because many times we don't actively obey and listen to the voice of Yahweh like we should. You know, we've become hard of hearing. Can we all just agree? Because you feel the Ruach convicting you a little bit, that we become hard of hearing. We're kind of like that that couple. They've been married for a long time. And finally, one day, the man leans over to his wife and says, dear, we've been married for all these years, and you have proven yourself. You're tried and true. And she said, what? What'd you say? He said, dear, you've proven yourself tried and true all these years. What did you say? Dear, you have proven yourself tried and true all these years. She looks at him and says, yeah, I'm tired of you too. You got it? We sometimes we don't hear. We become hard of hearing. We think we hear something, and yet it's something totally different. Yeshua said in Matthew 13:14, you keep hearing, but you do not understand. You keep hearing, but you do not understand. Ezekiel 12:2 says, thus says Yahweh. Who's speaking? Yahweh. So we need to listen. Thus says Yahweh, he who hears, let him hear. And he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. See, our hearing, our ear canals, our spiritual ear canals, we're kind of full of earwax. Think about it for a minute. What's earwax? It's a dirty buildup in your ears, mostly from the air, right? You don't, you know, get in the ground and just stick your ear in the sand or the dirt to try to get some earwax. It's a buildup. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes time. And it's mostly from what's in the air. What does the word tell us? That HaSatan is what? The prince of the power of the air. And he's going to do everything he can to stop us from hearing the word of Yahweh, the Bat Kol. And it's little bit at a time. Until we finally get mad and we get a Q-tip out, you know, or we stick our, car key in our ear and we start digging it out. All right, you know you're a redneck if you clean out the earwax with a car key. Okay. HaSatan is the prince of the power of the air, and he tries to fill our ears with lies and with dirt and with junk. There are three main ways that he does this, I believe. Number one is with pride. Pride. He attacks us with pride. That was part of the sin of Adam and Chava. Yahweh resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it says in Yaakov 4:6. But yet we think we're something, or yet we think we've got it all down, or, you know, we know it. Stiff-necked is another phrase for that. Another way that he tries to get into our ears and build up that earwax is by busyness. You could even say business, too. What do we spend the majority of our time doing? And I'm guilty of all of this. Busyness. Preoccupied. Let me tell you. Because you're busy doesn't mean you're fruitful. Amen? You can be as busy in the as all get out from the morning you wake up, the minute you wake up, to the minute you go to bed, but that doesn't mean you're fruitful for the kingdom. We have to make sure that we are being fruitful for the kingdom and that we're not just being busy. So many religious groups out there keep you so busy you have no time to study the word or hear the voice of Yahweh because you're doing everything else. So it's so important that we seek him. It tells us in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah 30, verse 15, it says, for this says Master Yahweh, the set apart one of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. What's our strength? Quietness. trust. In returning in rest, you shall be saved. Not busyness and having a meeting every single night of the week. So it's so important that we listen and we get rid of some of the busyness. Negativity, negative attitudes, another one that stops us from hearing the voice of Yahweh. It tells us in Psalm 106:25, Tehillim 106:25, it says, "And they grumbled in their tents and did not obey Yahweh." They grumbled, they mumbled, they complained, right? Where did they do it? Where do we complain the most? In our tents, in our houses, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We talk about this person. We talk about that person. We talk about the rabbi. We talk about this. We talk about that. They grumbled, and because of that attitude, they were not able. It doesn't say they listened to the voice of Yahweh. It says they grumbled. So we're kind of like the Pharisees sometimes, where we have a waxy buildup, and we don't always hear the call of Yahweh. The good news is Yahweh desires for us to hear it, and he wants us to walk with him, and we hear his voice every single day, every single way, in the big decisions and the little decisions. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 30:21, key verse. It says, "Thine ears shall hear a voice from behind, saying, this is the way, walk in it." Where's the voice coming from? Can you hear the person speaking if they're from behind you? No. You can hear some. You can see someone if they're in front of you, but if they're behind you, you can't see them unless you're a mother and you got eyes in the back of your head. But if you're not a mother, you're not seeing it, you're hearing it. It says, "Thine ears shall hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it." Yahweh wants to order our steps in a way that we hear his voice. However, today in the body of Mashiach, in the body of Messiah, there is a famine. We've got a waxy buildup. We hear from him some, but it's not to the magnitude that he wants us to hear from him. Because you're all here, you're all born again, we're all pursuing him, and we hear from him. But it's even greater extent that he wants us to hear from him. It tells us in Amos 8:11. Amos 8:11. "Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the word of Yahweh." And it is my prayer today that he sends that famine in your life and in my life, in the life of every person that hears that. Because what is a famine? It's a hunger and a desire and a drought to the extent that you've got to have it. I pray that he sends that famine. He says the days are coming that I'm going to send the famine. We've always heard this proclaimed, oh, people don't want to hear the word of Yahweh. Let me tell you something. We need the famine in our heart to where we are famished, that we desire him so much, that we seek him so much. We're like a person who is parched and has not had a drop of water for 3 or 4 days, and our tongue is starting to get big, and we're just so thirsty. We need to seek his voice that much. And I believe that through this word today, Yahweh is sending that famine in our hearts that we seek his call, his voice, even greater than we did before we came here. Baruch Hashem Yahweh, that's what it's about. So let's take a minute right now. Father Yahweh, we repent. We repent for not having that desire. And so many decisions we make, we seldom pray, we seldom ask you. Father, we seldom stop to listen. Father, we're so busy. We repent of the sin of busyness, of the sin of pride, of the sin of a negative spirit right now. And we ask that you would apply the blood of Yeshua to our hearts, our minds, our ears, our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions, our body. And that, Father, right now, that we would have a renewed mind to what your word tells us, and that we would ask you right now, Father, show us a couple areas and issues in our life that we really need to hear from you. And, Father, we open ourselves up to hear from you. We know that you're speaking. Father, help us to listen. We offer this prayer through Yeshua. Amen. Yahweh is speaking. Amen. He wants us to Shema. So, do we just look for the angel? Right? Because he did do that sometimes, right? He sent the angels to tell about Yeshua being born. Do we need to go open the door and let the prophet Elijah come in, like at the Passover Seder? You know, because it says he's going to send forth his messenger in the spirit of Elijah, right? I mean, do we look for signs and wonders? Do we wait for that soft music? Or maybe it's the James Earl Jones voice, God, booming through the heavens. The audible voice? Now, you can do all of that. Yahweh has done these things in the past. He's used a donkey. And Yahweh can still do that today, amen, because he does not change. But, everybody say but. But we really don't need a radical manifestation of his voice. If you came here today for radical manifestation of his voice, I'm sorry. What we do need, everybody says, I need. What you need, what you really need, is a radical change in the way you listen to him. Not a new manifestation of, oh, part the heavens and tell me. Give me a sign, but listen to what he's already saying. More often than not, Yahweh still speaks. And he speaks mostly in a still small voice. We know this. You know, he doesn't always speak in us chasing the latest and greatest prophet or messianic teacher out there from town to town. We all know people that do that, right? They go from here, they go from there. They want to hear the word. They got to hear this, they got to hear that. He doesn't always speak in grand ways, but in the bat kol, the gentle thunder, the simple whisper or a feeling. It tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19, dealing with Eliyahu. Yahweh's fixing to speak to him, and boy, Eliyahu's just like us. 1 Kings chapter 19. Eliyahu's just like us. He's ready to hear the word. He's got his tallit ready. He's ready to go, you know, travel to the nearest place where the newest prophet's going to speak, or the guest speaker, or the healing minister, or whatever. Right? I'm guilty there. Okay? Got to go gas up so I can hear the prophet and go hear the person speak. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 through 13, Yahweh said, go stand upon the mountain before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Oh, he's got to be in that, right? Right, because he's always, you know, when there's an earthquake, he's always pronouncing judgment on the world. Yahweh was not in the earthquake, it says. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after that, a still, small voice, a bat kol. And it was so, and when Eliyahu heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, in his tallit. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And Eliyahu was there to hear. He was there to hear the bat kol of Yahweh. Hearing the voice of Yahweh. Remember it says in Luke 8:18, take heed how you hear. Yahweh speaks in many ways, visions and dreams and signs. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the three main ways that Yahweh communicates with us. Three main ways, and hopefully clear up some things here. If we really want to hear from Yahweh, we really want to build our relationship, because relationship is built by spending time together and by listening, right? This week I read an article about sales, and it said that a good salesperson listens 75% of the time and talks 25% of the time. That's hard for me because I am a talker, right? I have the spiritual gift of gab. That is what I do best. That's one of those spiritual gifts. It's in 1 Corinthians, yeah. So, the spiritual gift of gab. But when we listen, when we stop to listen, that's when we hear. Because think about it, you can't talk and listen at the same time, not adequately, not greatly. If we really want to hear from him, I want you to really consider and focus on these three. Enjoy the others if they happen. If Yahweh opens the heaven and he sends you a dove as confirmation, or you hear this voice and you hear the Billy Graham music playing in the background, you know what I'm saying? If that happens, great, enjoy it. And remember, first of all, it's not getting Yahweh to talk. It's getting us to learn to listen. Yaakov, James, chapter 1, verse 19, one of my favorite verses. Everyone should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Except in the Daniel version is, everyone should be quick to speak and slow to listen. You would think that by my actions, right? because I love to talk. I got to share with you something, brother. But the word says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Do not become angry easily. Psalm 46, 1. Be still and what? Know that I am Yahweh. So three steps I want to tell you about. Number one, the first step in really hearing the voice of Yahweh. That's what we're talking about today, hearing the voice of Yahweh. Number one, you might want to write this down. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. Make yourself available. Praise and worship and prayer is not just a monologue. Oh, Yahweh, let me tell you all about my day. He's already seen it. He already knows. He knows what's bothering you. When you tell him, a lot of times it's for you. Think about that. And I'm sorry, but a lot of times our prayers are nothing but a complaining session. We think that if we begin it with Father Yahweh and we end it with, in Yeshua's name, Amen, it's prayer. That's not prayer. That's complaining and then asking Yahweh to bless it. Oy vey. I say we really need to begin with some adoration and some thanksgiving and some confession. We really need to come to Yahweh and we need to listen. Yeshua said in John, Yochanan 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. Not they may hear my voice, not they might hear my voice, but my sheep hear my voice. What's the last thing Yahweh spoke to you? Think about that for a minute. But we can only hear his voice when we're not listening. Think about a sheep for a minute. Sheep. Bah, bah, bah. They're noisy. Bah, bah. You can't hear his voice if you walk around going bah all the time. You got to learn to be quiet. And this is something that I've really begun to do in the past several weeks in my prayer time and just stopping and really listening, trying to listen, training my ear to listen. Stop saying bah and listen. So let me ask you, what's the last thing he told you to do? Go back and do the last thing he told you to do. That's pretty good advice. Second step, so first step, take time to listen. That may mean, by the way, taking a day off of work. Did I say those words? Oy vey. And just seeking him. You may have to rent a hotel room and get in there with the word. Take some time to listen. Mothers, take some time to listen and to study. Fathers, everybody, take some time. And it may mean getting up a little early, going to bed a little bit later, or shutting the door. Cutting the phone off. I said those words. So the second step is get quiet and ask. Get quiet and ask. Or dial Yahweh's phone number. What's his phone number? 1-800-Jeremiah-33-3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great unsearchable things you do not know. We're not calling him and telling him all of our problems, right? We're asking him for great unsearchable things we do not know. That's what he wants us to call him about. Now, yes, we go to him with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. We present our request to Yahweh. But the majority of our time, I believe, in prayer really needs to begin in listening and calling to him. Don't just ask him why. I don't really believe we should ask him why a lot of times, but we should say, what do you need to say to me, Father? What do you want to say to me today? And expect him to listen. Expect him to answer. Everybody say answer. Expect him to answer. Ask and you shall receive. That's what the word says in Matthew 7, 7. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. This takes practice. Practice the presence of Yahweh. Learn to listen to his voice. Learn to listen to his voice. Third step. Listen to the Spirit. It tells us in Yochanan 6:63, John 6:63, Yeshua said, the words I speak are spirit and life. The words I speak are spirit and life. Now, from a Hebraic perspective, the word life should always bring our mind back to the Etz Chaim, the tree of life. It tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and chapter 8, that the Torah is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, right? The Torah, or the loving instructions of Yahweh, is a tree of life. So whenever we see the word life, We need to think back to the tree of life. We need to think of the word of Yahweh. Yeshua said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He didn't come to do away with the Torah, but to give us an abundant understanding of the tree of life and of the understanding of Torah. Amen. So he says, my words are spirit, they're ruach, and life. He didn't just say one or the other. Some people walk around and, you know, they ask the Holy Spirit to have coffee with them in the morning. They say, good morning, Holy Spirit, let's have coffee together. I've seen it. I'm not going to talk about Benny Hinn. I'm not going to say who it is who wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And he says, he gets up every morning, goes to Starbucks or whatever, pays $4 for a coffee, and he says, good morning, Holy Spirit. That's fine as long as the Spirit agrees with the Word. They are not in opposition. Amen. They are one, echad. They are in union. He says, my words are spirit and life. They're always going to agree, and the words are spiritual. This is something very interesting because there are three main ways that Yahweh talks to us. And the first main way that he speaks to us is to and through our spirit. Hear me now. To and through our spirit. John 4:24 says, Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit only. No. Those who worship him must worship him in Holy Ghost goosebumps only. No. He says in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Yahweh is a spirit. And how does he communicate? In the spiritual realm. This is how he communicates. A lot of times we think we're going to hear his voice and he's speaking to us through our spirit. Through our spirit. So the three main ways that Yahweh speaks to us, the first one, very important, is to and through the Spirit. Yahweh is Spirit. Why would he give you an audible voice all the time? It tells us in 1 Corinthians, Corinthia Aleph, this is interesting, chapter 6, verse 17. He that is joined to Yahweh becomes one with him in spirit. Did you see that? Your born-again spirit is one with Yahweh's born-again spirit. But it tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me, but the power that raised Yeshua from the dead lives in you, in your born-again spirit. And that your born-again spirit and Yahweh's spirit are one. Did you know that? We forget that. But the power that raised Yeshua from the dead, but the spirit that spoke the words from Sinai, but the spirit that spoke the Shaul, that spoke from the Mount of Transfiguration, is within us. That's powerful. And he says, call to me and I will answer you. Dial my phone number, 1-800-Jeremiah-33-3, and I'm going to answer. You're not going to get my voicemail. He says, I'm going to answer. And our spirits are one. Yahweh predominantly speaks to us through the Spirit. Now, this is important. Put a star beside it for daily decisions, like the small decisions in life. Yahweh will speak to you. Now, I've seen people come into the store that I used to run, the retail store, and they would come in and they say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and told me to come in today and pay my bill. Well, duh. Pay your bill. Right? Pay your bill. That's in the Word already. But Yahweh's going to speak to us. We're not going to go around like fruitcakes talking, you know, telling everybody, well, God told me to do this. And we know people like that, right? They pronounce themselves as whatever. We're not to be fruitcakes, but we're to hear his voice in the small decisions in life. And you know what? The Father may speak to you and say, wear this today, don't wear that. Because you might have wanted to wear something that would have led someone to sin. Might not have been modest. The small decisions in life, and he speaks to us in our spirit. In Yochanan 16:13, it says, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will guide you and show you things to come. Isaiah 46:11, it says, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Now, he speaks to us in our spirit through a thought or feeling or impression. Not just the, Stephen, this is Yahweh talking. I want you to go get a Big Mac.
supersized extra lettuce and tomato.
Come on! But most of the time, we think Yahweh speaks in the first person. The majority of cases in your walk, Yahweh's going to speak to you in the third person. You're going to say, I feel Yahweh said this. I believe Yahweh is saying this. Yahweh is, it's coming from the inside, from your spirit, as an impression. It's not coming as a voice saying, do this, do that. It's usually, I feel, not usually, you do this. If the voice was always audible, it would take very little faith, right? Once you figured out it was Yahweh, you'd do whatever it said. He usually, now this is important. You might want to write this down. Yahweh usually speaks to his children through a transfer of knowledge, not words. Let me say that again. Yahweh usually speaks to his children through a transfer of knowledge, not words. If you have a thought or a feeling or something and you think that it's of Yahweh, you need to test that thought, feeling, or emotion. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive to the obedience of Yeshua, right? So you take it captive. And important here is, does it produce the fruit of the Spirit, like shalom or peace? HaSatan has a counterfeit for a lot of things. But his counterfeit for peace does not work very good unless it's that peaceful, easy feeling. You know. Does it produce peace? Do you have peace with it? And a lot of times it goes against the flesh or what feels good, what Yahweh speaks to us. Remember again the word in Isaiah 30:21. Isaiah 30:21. It says, thine ears will hear a voice from behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. He wants to order our steps. Look for peace. When Yahweh speaks to you through the Spirit, or when you think he's speaking to you, look for shalom and understand that majority of times he's going to speak to you through your mind, through your thoughts. Because he's spirit, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Now we think about it, yeah, he does speak on the first person. Second way he speaks to us that we need to focus on is through other people. So number one would be by the Spirit or through the Spirit. Number two would be through other people. Directly through the words and actions of others. You may see someone or you may talk to someone. You may watch them. And Yahweh says, don't do that to your Ruach, to your spirit. The born-again spirit in you begins to speak to your mind and your body. He says, don't do that. If you watch somebody fall off a cliff, they're speaking to you, right? I mean, come on. Their actions are speaking to you. But a lot of times you'll have a conversation with someone and they'll say something and they have no idea what's going on in your life. And what is that to us? That's called confirmation. Amen? Confirmation. And I really believe that this is important for major decisions in life. I personally do not believe that you need to go off of what the Spirit just says to you for major decisions. You need to, okay, you have a feeling that you need to do A, whatever A is. It's a major decision. It would affect yourself. It would affect your family. It would affect your finances. It would affect a lot of things. That needs to be confirmed by two things, by two or three witnesses. And I would say three witnesses. The first witness would be the Word. And I would even say two witnesses at least in confirmation. If Yahweh calls you to go to Timbuktu, then there needs to be some confirmation to go to Timbuktu. Amen? Otherwise, you may get there, and he said to go to Timbuktu 3 years from now. Right? Sometimes we kind of rush things. In Proverbs 19:20, it says, listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in the latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, Yahweh's counsel will stand. Ask a believer to pray with you about a major decision before you make it. Husbands and wives, same thing. Pray together about it. Seek the Father about it. Ask for confirmation. Proverbs 12:15, he who heeds counsel is wise. And I think it's important to have it confirmed by ordained leadership. If you've ordained for someone to be a leader over you, to ask them to pray about it and see if they get a confirmation also. Because a lot of times, you know what, I want to do what I want to do. That's what the Word says in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans of a man's heart. There are tons of things I want to do. You just ask me. I got so many dreams and so many ideas. And you know what? Sometimes when I decide to do it, I make bad decisions. And I think I'm following Yahweh sometimes in doing those. And if I would have said to my wife or would have said to another believer, pray with me about this. Give me some, you know, what do you think about this? I could have heard the voice of Yahweh a little more clearly. Amen? Confirmation. It tells us in Deuteronomy 19:15, and this is a Hebraic concept. This is a concept we really need to understand. It says that a single witness shall not stand. Yeshua himself, our master Rabbi Yeshua, in Matthew 18:16 said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Don't just go buy a new car because you saw the ad and you, I'm going to go buy that new car. I'm going to go get in debt, right? I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that without some confirmation. The little things and the big things, especially the big things I would say here. When Yeshua said this in Matthew 18:16, he was quoting Deuteronomy 19:15. There is a Hebraic concept of two or three witnesses. So even with our children, if one of them comes and says, you know, this happened, we need to ask for two or three witnesses. Teach them that, even as children. Before fleecing Yahweh and fasting for 40 days, ask somebody else to pray about it. Amen? We're so fast to do this and do, oh, Father Yahweh, I'm going to flip my coin, and if it lands on heads two out of three times, I know that this is your will for my life. Don't laugh because you know you've done it, right? And many times it's Yahweh speaking to us, and if we would go to another believer, there would be confirmation. There would be confirmation. And it shows that this, it shows and reminds us of the importance of the body. Everybody say body. Body. We need each other. We need each other. We need our relationships. We need each other. So number one way to hear from Yahweh is through the Spirit. Number two, through other people. And number three, the most important of all, the bedrock of all, is through the word of Yahweh. Devar Yahweh. Torah. If you get a feeling to go out and commit adultery, and you go up to three prostitutes and they agree with you, that does not mean it's the voice of Yahweh. Right? Now, that's an extreme case, but everything has to go back to the Word. The Word is the foundation and the basis. It's interesting that the word, the words in Hebrew, kol Elohim, which is what? The voice of Elohim, adds up to 222. 222. What's interesting about that is that the word daviru, where we get the word devarim, or the word, daviru in Hebrew is his words. It's used in Daniel 10:6. His words came and spoke. They equal the same in their Hebrew lettering. The voice of Yahweh and the word of Yahweh. Kine bina, which means to acquire understanding, equals 222. This shows us the importance of the word. And it's not a dead book. It tells us in Hebrews 4:12. What does it say? The Torah, the word, is alive. It's living and active. And it cuts apart the spirit and the flesh. It's alive. It says every scripture is profitable for teaching and training. And when that word was written, it was not about the New Testament. It was about the Tanakh, the Old Testament. His word is a tree of life, and you are to eat from that tree for every decision, every decision, every decision, every decision. And you know what? Yahweh's word may not say marry, that you need to marry Joe and not marry Carl, but there are precepts and guidelines that would tell you who to marry or what to do, right? Carl might not be a believer. Joe may be a believer. Marry Joe. Maybe not marry Joe. Guidelines. Keeping those guidelines. Most of what we really need to hear and see and follow from the Kol Elohim is in the Word. It's there. So we need to read it and study it and meditate on it. The sages of Judaism, the Jewish rabbis, have said that, I'm not sure which rabbi this was, but he said that the best way to hear Yahweh is to study and read Torah. Not about Torah, Not what the Talmud says about Torah, not what Billy Graham says about Torah, but to study and read Torah itself. The best commentary for Scripture is what? Scripture. Amen? Everyday life. And you know what? If you've only got the New Testament, there's so many concepts that are missing. That's why so many people in Christianity, you know, they go from here to there. They don't know what to do, and they make a lot of bad decisions because they're not reading about the first five books of the Scriptures specifically that tell them certain things. Odd things. Like the Torah says, if you build a house, you ought to put a fence around the roof. It says if you go and there's an egg in a nest, and you got the mother and just one egg, don't take it. What does that mean? It says if you see a stumbling block, pick it up. There's so many odd concepts, or what we would call odd concepts in the Scriptures, that we can really learn and understand parts about our life. His word is the ultimate test. It's the ultimate test. So we hear it, or we have an inclination or understanding or feeling about doing something. And maybe it's an easy understanding. Yeah, it's in line with Yahweh's word. Do it. Do you have peace with it? Is it in line with His word? Step out in faith and do it. If it's a major decision, that's when we really need to go to someone else, make sure it's in line with the word, get some confirmation, seek Him. But we've got to be grounded and founded in Torah, not just what the latest preacher says on TV and on the internet about the New Testament. Amen? Torah. We need a foundation of Torah, Hebraic understanding of Torah, before we go out and start making a lot of major decisions. And the word tells us that if we're faithful in the small things, He'll make us master over the many or the big. What does His word teach that you're obedient to right now? What does His word teach that you're not obedient to? What are some things maybe He showed you, or His word has come to you, V'kol Elohim has come to you and said, do this. You know, in the Scriptures, a lot of times it says the word of Yahweh came to Abraham. The word of Yahweh came to Moses. The word of Yahweh came to this person, came to that person. And in the Scriptures, that's actually a picture of the word, the Devar Yahweh, coming and speaking through maybe a person physically, maybe just an emotion or a feeling backed up by the word. What has He showed you to do that you've not done? Maybe you've been disobedient to. What has He showed you in the word? Fill in the blank. Why would Yahweh speak to you anything else if you're not going to be obedient there? Right? Yahweh told us to give some money to a ministry one time, and I'm just like, I don't have it. And I had it in my bank account, but I sure didn't want to do it right then. And it took about 2 or 3 months later that I finally did it. And I had to repent because I heard His voice then, and I was in disobedience from then on. So if He's told you to do something, do it. Be faithful to it. Believe for the small things first. And then go forward. Yahweh's not going to give you $1 million if you're not faithful with 1,000. Does that make sense? He says, the word of Yahweh is like a seed. Yeshua said this. The word of Yahweh is like a seed. First a sprout, a blade, then an ear, then an ear with corn. He doesn't just give you a Lamborghini. He's probably going to give you a Pinto first. Right? I got an Escort first. Be faithful in the small. Know the word. Memorize the word. Get the word in your spirit and do it. Amen? So through the word, and it all comes back to that. Hearing and responding to Yahweh. Shema Israel, the Bat Kol is fundamental. A couple things to review. Yahweh is always talking. His word is always going forward. There's a difference between hearing and shmaing. Amen? To shma means to listen and obey. Watch out for the earwax. Remember we talked about pride, negativity, having bad attitude, being busy. We said it's important to take time to listen every day. Quiet yourself. Be still and know that I'm Yahweh. I just encourage you to do that. And don't do it when you're sleepy. Because you're going to hear something that's going to be, it's going to be yourself snoring. Don't do it when you're sleepy. Right? Come on. Listen to the Spirit and listen for the Spirit. Remember that the Word is the ultimate authority. and that Yahweh wants to lead us in the small things and in the big things. Seek confirmation, witnesses, especially on the big decisions, and the word is always the basis, right? And it's just not like you're just going to say, okay, I'm going to hear you now, Yahweh. I've cleaned out my ears. I got the earwax out. The power, the prince of the power of the air, it has no more power over me. Now, I'm fixing to leave the synagogue. Do I need to go to the right or to the left? Should I go into oncoming traffic or should I wait? Right? Use the voice of reason. But understand that a lot of times when you hear that, it is Yahweh speaking to you. We just think it's us. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart many times. Yahweh's leading us. Yahweh is speaking. We've heard it, right? The Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Yahweh's got a 10-step program I want to share with you that the sages of Judaism, the rabbis have come up with, I think is really good to attain divine bat kol, to hear the bat kol, to hear the divine echo. And these are all throughout the scriptures. I'm not going to give you scripture verses to go with these, but I want to go over these real quick. The number one is, first way Yahweh speaks to us is through what? Torah. Torah, that is the basis and the foundation. Torah, constant study and observance of his teachings. Don't expect to hear the voice until you're observing what he's already told you. Study the word. Get into the word. Number two, Zehirut. Zehirut, and that's Hebrew for care. Care. Zehirut. Take care not to violate a single law or rule that he showed you. If the Father's really spoken to you about one certain situation, don't do it. If you're eating kosher, don't eat pig. And take care not to eat pig. Zehirut. Next step, number three, very similar. Zerizut. Zerizut, which is Hebrew for diligence. Be diligent in Torah. Be diligent in every commandment. That means you got to learn every commandment. If you go to our website, www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com, there is a PDF file of every commandment in the scriptures. It begins with the 613 in the Torah, then it goes to all the others in the Brit Hadashah. Be diligent. Maybe start studying two or three commandments a day or a week. So how can I fulfill this today? Be diligent. Zerizut. Number four. This is a good Hebraic concept. Nekiut. Nekiut. Which in Hebrew means cleanliness. Cleanliness. Be clean. Wash yourselves. Take a bath. Living completely free of sin in thought and in deed. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners. Wash your hands, right? Who may ascend upon the hill of Yahweh? One with a clean hands and pure heart. Cleanliness. So we got care. We got Torah. We got care. We got diligence. We got cleanliness. The next one is abstinence. Parashut. Parashut is abstinence. This is where it gets tricky. This is tough here. When you attain the level of parashut in your walk, you will avoid even the things that you can do because they may lead you to sin. Now, you got to be careful there because that can lead to legalism. But there is a level to where you say, you know what, I'm just not going to watch that show, or I'm just not going to say those words or go this place or do this action because it's okay for me to do it. It's clean. It's okay. But it may lead me to sin. Which means, you know, you don't even get a Victoria's Secret catalog because it may lead the guy to look at it and sin. Which may mean if you're in the mall, you don't even walk down the Victoria's Secret side, for example. Right? Right? Avoiding even the... Is there a verse in Torah that says don't go there? No. But when it comes down to it, you'll avoid even the permissible when it may lead to wrong. You got to be careful here because the Jews, this is where they, the Orthodox, where they specialize in. And they put fences around the Torah. And they say, well, don't even say Yahweh's name. Say Adonai, Adoshim, Ado whatever, because you might sin by saying his name. You got to be careful. Amen? Got to be careful. You got to have some carefulness, right? Zeherut. Number six, another key Hebraic concept. If something is tameh, that means it is unclean. If something is tahor, that means it is clean or purified. Tahora means purification. Tahora is purifying yourself of all sin, both past and present. That may mean getting to the place to where you were tempted to do something a year ago that you're not tempted to do anymore. Amen? Maybe if you were an alcoholic, you're not tempted to drink too much anymore. Okay? Number seven, chassidut, or you could say chassidim, like the Hasidic Jews. It's piety. Dedication to Yahweh far beyond the call of what Torah just says, far beyond the letter. The Hasidic Jews are pious. They are good people. They care for people. They have a lot of joy. We need to get to the place to where we can prepare ourselves. We can, and the farther we go down this list, the harder it's getting, right? Right? And the greater we're going to be able to hear His word more clearly. Number eight, anava, anava, which is oive, humility, humility, absolute negation of self. When we get to the place where we can hear Yahweh's voice regardless of what we want, that is called anava. That's powerful there, because most of the time we go to Yahweh and say, Yahweh, I want to do this. Is that all right? Not, Yahweh, what is your will? Or, Yahweh, is this, you know, what you want to do? What I should do? Anava is, you know what, being so humble and having humility that regardless of what He leads you to do, you're going to do it. Number nine, Yirat Chet. Yirat Chet. This level is fear of sin. Loving Yahweh so much that you dread all sin and evil. That you have a fear of sin, because what does sin do? Separates us from Yahweh. And some of us, you know, we're doing pretty good on number five and maybe not so good on number three. You know, maybe pretty good on number two. And finally, number 10, Kedusha. Another key phrase, holiness. Holiness. And which in Hebrew, Kedusha, holiness, means not to be quiet, but to be set apart. Total negation of the worldly. Totally set apart. In the world, but not of the world. Kedusha. The more kadosh we are, the more holy we are, the more easily we can hear His voice. Amen? If you're out in the world all the time and you hear Bart Simpson all the time, it's harder to hear Yahweh's voice. Yahweh is speaking. Are we listening? There are blessings, right? He wants us to have a living dependency that we hear every word in balance of a spirit. I want to share a few more verses with you. To end. In Yeshayahu 6:3, in Isaiah 6:3, it says, the angels proclaim, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Sevaot. In Hebrew, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh et Yahweh Sevaot. Holy, holy is the Master of Hosts. The angels are proclaiming that. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night, they do not cease to say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. So not only are the words of Yahweh eternally being spoken, but the words of the angels, amen, in Shemayim, the four living creatures are continually proclaiming, what are they saying? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is Yahweh, Sevaot. The constant message from the heavens is Yahweh's Kedusha, His holiness. The message that Yahweh wants to speak to you in every area of your life is Kedusha, holiness, set apartness. He says, be kadosh because I am kadosh. That is His constant message. And here's what's really interesting. That the angels proclaim it 24 hours a day. It says they never cease. Day and night, they do not cease to say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And because of their power, through the power of the word spoken, they don't even, they speak it. And as each of these creatures speak it, it does not overlap another one. These angels, these creatures are seeing all the mighty deeds of Yahweh. They're seeing all of creation of Yahweh. They're seeing Yahweh move throughout all the world, and they're proclaiming Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That is His word. That is what He's speaking to us today. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, Kadosh, He is seeking a Kadosh people, a royal priesthood, a holy Kadosh nation. Kedusha. The constant message. And it will always lead to actions of love. Love. If Kedusha leads to us going around beating everybody down with the Torah, that's not Kedusha. That's man's holiness. And actions of love lead to greater hearing. Last verse. We said at the very beginning that Yahweh wants us to hear His voice. The greatest commandment is to Shema. Therefore, we know how to hear. In Bereshit chapter 18, we see a powerful example of this. Hearing Yahweh's voice, even the audible voice of Yahweh, is vastly important. But what we do with that voice is even more important. Amen? Be not hearers of the word only, but be doers. Avraham is our father. It tells us in Galut Yah, Galatians. It says, if you are Messiahs, if you belong to Christ, if you are Mashiachs, you are a seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise, right? So if you are a seed of Abraham, that means he's your daddy, and that means you need to follow his example. Amen? And so we're going to see what he did, and it may surprise you. In Bereshit chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, we see the voice of Yahweh speaking to Avraham, and we see Avraham respond. It says in Bereshit chapter 18, verse 1, it says, and Yahweh appeared to Avraham in the plains of Mamre, and Avraham sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Yahweh just appeared to him. Wouldn't you like that? Just Yahweh to come to your house, ding, 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 ring the doorbell, and says, come on, let's talk, let's break bread together. Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd stop everything that you were doing to spend time with Yahweh. You cut off your cell phone. You cut off your computer. You cut off Days of Our Lives. You would get there and you would listen, because Yahweh, no, He doesn't do this all the time. Yahweh's coming to visit. Guess who's coming for dinner, right? You know, it's Yahweh. I better stop. In verse 2, it says, and Avraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and see, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them at the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. The rabbis in Judaism teach us that Avraham left conversation with Yahweh at one door to be hospitable to people coming to another door. Now think about that. He heard the voice of Yahweh. He was sitting down having tea with Yahweh, and he saw an opportunity to serve. And he stopped, and he ran to serve. So what is before us now? What has Yahweh already spoken to us? Who is before us that we can serve, that we can minister to? What has He spoken to us? It's important that we hear the word, but it's even more important that we do what He's spoken to us. Amen? We have confirmation, we have understanding, and we leave here applying the message so we can hear Him more clearly. Avraham stopped, it says, lifted up his eyes, and he ran to meet them. He didn't even think twice about it. He ran to meet them to minister, no doubt, what Yahweh had already spoken to him. So what has Yahweh spoken to you to do? You need to do it. What has Yahweh spoken to you to minister? You need to minister, right? And just as with Avraham, because we are seed of Avraham, we are His children, we are to follow His example and be hospitable, serve, love, care. Not just be hearers, but be doers of the word also. He wants to speak to us in the big decisions and in the small decisions. And He does it through His word. Amen? Amen. Father Yahweh, we just pray right now. We clean out our ears again, and we just pray that You would show us Your ways. We could follow and obey. Father, I pray that
word spoken here today would encourage and inspire us to run, to serve others, to love, to meet the needs, to share what you've spoken to us already. Father, many of us here, we've already heard your word and you've told us to do something, and yet we, for some reason, we've not done it. So I pray right now that you would forgive us of that, you would reveal that to us, and you would encourage us and to do so. Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. We would stop and listen, that we would even make plans and schedule a time just to listen to you. Father, we thank you that you desire not only to speak to us, but you want us to hear your word. You say, Shema Israel. Father, may we have ears to hear. True meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, have exercised their senses. Father, may we exercise. That means use daily, over and over and over again, our senses to discern between both good and evil. That when presented with a decision, we can discern quickly what your word would say, and we would follow in obedience. Father, I thank you for this group here, for their heart's desire is to seek you and to know you. And Father, I just pray that they would begin to seek you and know you greater. Give us a greater understanding of your love, of your ways. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We offer this prayer through Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen.